Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, I believe it is. Luke chapter number 6. We'll be looking at several passages of Scripture tonight. How many of you know what the golden rule is? How many know what the golden rule is? How many of y'all know that comes out of the Scripture? Amen. It's not quoted in Scripture exactly like it. Most people say the golden rule, but certainly it's taught in the Word of God. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 31. I'll share with you in just a moment how the Lord put this on my heart and have something, an illustration to read to you. The Bible said in verse 31, "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." Then there's a word, the word but. That's kind of like a hinge on a door. Jesus said, but love your enemies, love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Pray with me a moment. Father, I pray tonight that you'd make the message a blessing in our hearing tonight, a blessing to our dear people. Lord, it could be that someone needs this tonight. It could be, Lord, that it would be a message that you would have us to put in the bank for future withdrawal. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that you would help us to glean and help us, our Father, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, our relationships, Mother's Day this year will be 9 years. Our relationships should not be what they were 9 years ago. They should be sweeter. We should be closer. I pray, dear Father, that you would help us as a people. Help me as a pastor. I pray, dear God, to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was reading this morning, and I'll find this here. I didn't take the time to print it off. I hope I can find it. I believe that's it right there. But I something got my attention as I was reading, and I'd like to share it with you tonight. Many years ago, two boys were working their way through Stanford University. Their funds got desperately low, and the idea came to them to engage Paderewski for a piano recital. I hope I said his name right. I've never heard of him before. They would use the funds to help pay their board and tuition. The great pianist manager asked for a guarantee of $2,000. The guarantee was a lot of money in those days, but the boys agreed and proceeded to promote the concert. They worked hard, only to find that they had grossed only $1,600. After the concert, the two boys told the great artist the bad news. They gave him the entire $1,600, along with a promissory note for $400, explaining that they would earn the amount at the earliest possible moment and send the money to him. It looked like the end of their college careers. "No, boys," replied Paderewski. "That won't do." Then, tearing the note in two, he returned the money to them as well. "Now," he told them, he said, "take out of the $1,600 all of your expenses and keep for each of you 10% of the balance for your work, and let me have the rest." The years rolled by. World War I came and went. Paderewski, now premier of Poland, was striving to feed thousands of starving people in his native land. There was only one man in the world who could help him, Herbert Hoover, who was in charge of the U.S. Food and Relief Bureau. Hoover responded, and soon thousands of tons of food were sent to Poland. After the starving people were fed, Paderewski journeyed to Paris to thank Hoover for the relief sent him. "That's all right, Mr. Paderewski," was Hoover's reply. "Besides, you don't remember it, but you helped me once when I was a student in college and I was in trouble." When I read that this morning, it warmed my heart. And it was just within a few minutes, God directed my heart to this scripture: "Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you." We'll run into a scripture a little bit later tonight that talks about the law of reaping and sowing. In other words, you're going to reap what you sow. Someone said you reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, and you reap more than you sow. If you just put one grain of corn in the ground, by the way, and you're going to get more than one grain of corn, you're going to get several ears off of that stalk. And I'd hate to think how many grains. I'd have to sit down and have to count them all, God willing. And so tonight, there's three areas that I want to look at in this golden rule: do unto others as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. I want to ask you a question tonight. How many of you are well aware tonight that each one of us has flesh that wants absolutely no part to do with that scripture right there? Ain't that right? But each one of us that are born again have inside of us, oh, Brother Fred would probably shout right here, a new man. Remember him talking about taking off the old coat? No, that was Brother Joe, wasn't it? Amen. I'll tell you something, the old timers, they got something, say amen. They actually got someone, and it manifests in itself through their lives. But tonight I want to look at several areas. First of all, as you would have men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. I'll have to look at that every time because I don't have that memorized. It's the golden rule we have memorized: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It means the same thing. First of all, concerning the faith. If you'll notice something here tonight, he said here, "For if you love them which love you, what thank have you?" Or what's the big deal? What's your reward if you love them that love you? He said sinners do that. Amen. And then he said, If you do good to them to do good to you, what's the big deal? Because sinners do that. They do the same. And if you lend to them hoping to receive, if you put money in a savings account, you hope that it will gain interest. But the Bible's talking about here on a personal basis. Somebody has a need. You know, when you think about what went on here in that man's life, he didn't give that to those boys hoping to receive. He gave it to those boys because there was something in his heart. And years later, how many's ever heard the saying, I think I've heard you say this, Brother Grizzle, God won't let you outgive him. And so here's a man now that he's the premier in Poland. His people are starving to death. And God's going to let him reap wherein he has sown. But what I want you to see, turn over to 2 Thessalonians with me for just a moment. 2 Thessalonians. I'll get me a marker here because we'll be back here in a little bit. 2 Thessalonians. Concerning the faith. Because the Bible tells us plainly that all men have not the faith. I want to say to you tonight, the Bible said in another place, I believe it was in the book of James, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. It shouldn't matter when our young people come into church. It shouldn't matter what they're driving or who they're riding with or say amen. I found out years ago the ground's level at the foot of the cross. And I hope you'll keep this in the back of your mind always, especially you, Brother Michael and Sister Danita, and you, Sister Jerry and Brother Kenny. Your pastor's a bus kid. Keep that in the back of your mind. I found out the other day that Jacob's going to be joining the Navy. Ain't that awesome? I said, man, that'd be good for that youngin'. Amen, I mean that. I'm proud of him. Amen. It won't be good for his hair, but it'll be good for the youngin'. Amen. One guy told his dad, he said, I'm tired of your rules. I'm tired of having to do all this work around here. I'm going to go join the Marines. Duh. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, Paul said, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. I want to say something tonight. Listen, I've never put these two together. But in order for the word of the Lord to have free course, the Spirit of God must be having free course. Because where does the Spirit of God point us? He points us into all truth. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll point you. He will guide you into all truth. He said, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. See, over there where we were talking about a while ago, it was talking about sinners. Sinners do this, and sinners do that. And so Paul said here, all men have not the faith. He said, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. I want everybody to watch this. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. How many believes He's coming? Well, I want to be found in the love of God when He comes, don't you? I want to be found with a forgiving heart. I want to be found being merciful. I want to be found giving without expecting anything in return. I want to be found doing unto others as I would have them to do unto me. The Word of God said here, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you have received of us. There's one thing that Paul's addressing right here. I want you to see it. For yourselves know how that you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Here's what he's talking about. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing or for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power to make ourselves an example, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Look at verse 10. It tells you what he's talking about in the context. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's a verse that's not brought up too much these days. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Watch this now. Yet, I'm going to get to this a little bit later as well. Count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. When the Bible is talking about do unto others, let me go back and read it. I don't want to just quote the golden rule, so to speak. I want to read the text. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. We're talking about some are in the faith, some are not in the faith, but to Jesus, it doesn't matter. We ought to do unto others, whether that man is in the faith or whether he's not in the faith, we ought to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. We ought to speak kindly. We ought to be merciful. We ought to be forgiving. The Word of God is teaching us these things. Look at Leviticus just a moment. Go back over in your old Bible to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. I want you to see something here that I'm reminded of. I think I've heard this years ago and heard it again recently. All the Bible is not written to us, but all the Bible is written for us. It was written for our example, for our learning. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16 through 18, thou shalt not go up and down a talebearer as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Beloved, I'll say it again. You and I both have flesh that wants no part of this. But God said, I've sent you somebody to help you. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Comforter. He is the Paraclete. He is the one called alongside to help. I believe the Bible said that they were called Christians first at Antioch in the book of Acts. You know what I believe? I believe the world stood back and said, ain't nobody else around here that acts like that bunch. They're merciful. They forgive one another. They help one another. They'll give stuff away not expecting anything in return. What in the world's wrong with them? I'll tell you something tonight. God's keeping a record. God knows what we do, and God knows why we do it. I believe that as you would men that should do unto you, you should do also to them likewise. And I say the first thing is concerning the faith. Over and over the Bible talks about sinners love them that love them. Love those that love them. Sinners do the same. They do good to them that are good to them. The Bible said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm glad, as I said that tonight, there are examples of that that I've seen God work out in my own life, in my own heart. You know, the Bible said over there in the book of Thessalonians, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. I want to say something tonight. if we're not careful, the enemy will convince us that the enemy is our brother. I promise you this tonight. Two ladies that know Christ, they're not each other's enemy. Somebody may feel that way, but they're not. Two men that know Christ are not each other's enemy. A pastor that knows Christ and a people that know Christ are not each other's enemy. But I promise you this, there's an enemy behind the scenes that wants to get in pastor's heart and make him believe that somebody out there is his enemy. And make somebody out there believe that the man standing in this pulpit, a little while back, I preached on a subject, it's been several months ago. There was a young man in our presence that day. And that young man has got something going on in his family. It's not going on in his own life. But he couldn't hardly swallow what was coming out of this pulpit. I'm telling you, beloved, just because we can't swallow it doesn't mean I'm your enemy. I'm your friend if I'm telling you the truth. We know about the relationship between Jonathan and David and the Word of God, how that they loved one another as their own soul. And a lot of people try to paint an old, dirty, filthy picture out of that. God help us. Amen. There's nothing immoral or unclean about the love that Jonathan and David had for one another. But I've often wondered if there wasn't somebody that loved him just as much, if not more, than Jonathan, and that was Nathan. The man that was willing to lay his life on the line to stand toe to toe with David and tell him the story about the man's little ewe lamb and say, "Thou art the man." That takes a good friend. Admonish him as a brother. Don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Let's move on. The second thing that God spoke to my heart about, not only concerning the faith, go to Galatians chapter 6 for just a moment. We'll be in Galatians chapter 6 and in chapter 5 just a little bit. I'll have to go back and read it again. See, I memorized that as a kid. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I need to memorize the verse, Brother Jimmy. Amen. It means the same thing, but Jesus said, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Okay? Concerning the faith, number one. Number two, concerning our faults. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody here tonight don't have them? I've been having me a fault for almost 30 years. I couldn't tell Esther and Martha apart, and I believe I got this thing down pat now. All these years, I didn't even know one of them was taller than the other. Amen. Ridiculous, ain't it? Amen. I've had people say, "Well, I'm telling apart. I ain't got no problem." I thought you're lying. I love to see them together. I just say, "Hello, Martha and Esther." "Hello, Esther and Martha." Try to keep it level. We've got them. All of us do. Look at verse chapter 6, verse number 1. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That's the golden rule. We read it a moment ago, the text that it comes from. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, what's the next word? I never picked up on this, Brother Grizzle, in all these years studying the Bible. Go back to chapter 5 and verse 22. I never put the two together. See, sometimes we let the chapter breaks break our train of thought. You understand what I mean? But the Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Look at this. Provoking one another, envying one another. So he's talking about the Spirit-filled life, the fruit of the Spirit. And then in verse number, chapter number 6 and verse number 1, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Okay, here's what I'm getting at.
Brother Gary, if you were overtaken in a fault tonight, if I would remember this, I want to approach Brother Gary like I would want Brother Gary to approach me. Did anybody hear what I just said? See, if we're not careful, beloved, listen, we forget that. Say amen. We forget that. The Bible said, ye which are spiritual, knock such a one in the head. Is that what it says? No, it says restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. How many's ever heard pastors say something like this? I've never had a problem. I'm not boasting. But because of my background, I've never had a problem trying to help a drunk get to Jesus. I've never had a problem trying to help somebody that's living immoral get to Jesus. I've never had a problem. One of the reasons is I understand that it's the grace of God that I'm not still in the mess that I was in when He found me. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not only addressing a sinner, but addressing a saint, a child of God. Let me say something that I heard an old preacher say years ago. I never have forgotten it. He said, you and I are just as capable, Brother Harvey, he said, of doing anything and worse that we did before we got saved. Apart from the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. I want to tell you something, beloved. We don't need to forget that. I will say this. Some of you picked up on it, probably more than anybody in the world. Brother Don picked up on it. And months ago, he started making it his mission in life to encourage this pastor. Because he realized pastor was discouraged. Never one time did he belittle me or make me feel like I was less than a man because I'd allowed myself to get discouraged. I'll tell you one of the reasons why. He's pastored for years and years and years, and he knows what it is to be discouraged. Amen. And so when I run into somebody that's discouraged, I ought to treat them like I would want to be treated if I'm discouraged. Somebody that's overtaken in a fault. Because the Bible said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Concerning our faults. If you go, the Bible said in verse number 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I believe if you read that in its context, the burden is that brother that's overtaken in a fault. We're living in a day where a lot of people just back up and they just say, well, we'll see if he makes it. That's not what the Bible's teaching. A lot of times people make a profession of faith and the church just backs up and we say, we'll see if it's real. You know, God knows if it's real or not. Let me let you in on a secret. He knows if you're real or not. And He knows if pastor's real or not. He said, let every man prove his own work. In other words, we have a responsibility to one another, but we also have a responsibility to bear our own burden in verse number 5. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We don't know how it would have turned out. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I'm trying. Pederewski. We don't know how that would have turned out if he would have said, boys, give me my money and send me the $400 as soon as you get it. We don't know how it would have turned out. But we know this. We know how it turned out. I went back to Maryland years ago. And we stayed at my wife's mom's. And just down the street, there was a church that was formed out of the church that she and I were married in. And we attended that church that morning. Only time in my life I've seen her mother under conviction. She left the church that morning crying uncontrollably. She couldn't even look up. She couldn't even speak. God woke me up that morning at 4 o'clock and gave me a message. And I thought, Lord, I don't know why, but okay. I went back to bed about 6 and slept till about 7:30. I just penned a few things down. Got there to the church that morning. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Those people that drove the bus, they didn't know that a preacher would be walking in years later. But they drove the bus. They were faithful. Piece of chewing gum or a piece of candy on Saturday. Knock on the door. Rick, you boys going to be ready in the morning? Yes, sir, we'll be ready. Mom and Dad run and hide. Because they didn't want to talk to those people from the church. I'm not downing my mom and dad. There's been a time in every one of us's life when we run and hid. Say amen. Thought we could hide from God. Can't hide from Him. That morning, the pastor asked me to give a word of testimony, and I did. I tried to be real brief. Honestly, if I went into detail in my testimony, I don't know if 2 hours would tell it. I told it in Knoxville one time, didn't I, Miss E? And 9 people walked the aisle and got saved. One of them was a missionary's son, 16, 17 years old. He had heard the gospel all of his life, but God gave him the grace that night to admit it had never been right. They didn't know what was coming, but God let them reap where they had sown. This man that sang, he didn't know that one day he'd be the premier of Poland, but God let him reap whereon he had sown. The Bible said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let me say something. When we're sowing forgiveness and we're sowing mercy, we're not sowing to the flesh. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Back over to the text. Luke chapter number 6. Ask, and as you would, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. I really never thought about it exactly like this. But really what's going on here is the natural versus the supernatural. It's natural to love somebody that loves you. But it's supernatural to love somebody. When Jesus hung on that cross with his arms outstretched, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, thorns in his brow, his face bruised and battered, his beard plucked out. When he hung there on that cross and said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But you say, Pastor, old so-and-so knew what he was doing. Really? The Bible said it'd be better for a man to have a millstone hung around his neck and cast into the bottom of the sea than to offend one of these, my little children. Really? That's what the Word of God said. I believe we ought to take Jesus' approach. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The last thing I want to give you is concerning the foe or the enemy. Jesus said in verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I'm wondering, thinking back, they were called Christians first in Antioch. I'm almost finished tonight. But I'm wondering, thinking back, Brother Gary, if maybe some of them Pharisees and Sadducees and people that were part of the temple, and these people are running around and they're acting like Jesus, they're talking like Jesus, they're loving like Jesus, they're giving things away like Jesus, amen, trying to help one another. I wonder if some of them didn't just mock them, just like they did in Nehemiah. I wonder, Sister Carol, if maybe someday they didn't hear some of those Christians praying. They didn't pray to be heard of men, but maybe they're off in a corner somewhere. They're in the house and somebody walks by. I've heard story after story, amen, where somebody walked by and there was a mama calling that name, amen. There was a grandpa calling that name. I can remember when I got saved and God called me to preach, my grandpa taking me down in that dirt basement. You had to duck down to get down in there and show me. He said, son, right here's where I prayed for you. He said, listen, I prayed that God would call one of my boys, and He never did. But He said He got my grandson. That's just as good. Never forget it as long as I live. Thank God somebody prayed for me, even when I was an enemy of the cross. My mind goes back to those six teenagers in a high school of over 2,000 that would gather around the flagpole every morning, rain or shine, and pray. I wonder if Rick Vannoy's name, somewhere along the line, I'd walk by and I'd look over there, and I knew. We talked Sunday morning, you know, about that crowd that they wouldn't profess because they was afraid of getting thrown out of the synagogue. Well, I wasn't saved at the time, but I knew there was something going on in that circle. They had hauled me to church, and I had a Sunday school teacher that memorized this Bible. He was a night shift guard, and all he had to do was memorize the Bible and check the locks. Man, he was a giant, not just in the flesh, but in the faith. Y'all have heard this statement from old timers. He didn't put up with any foolishness. You didn't act a fool in his class, amen. He'd let you know about it. Concerning the foe, even the enemy, our enemies. The Bible said this. I wish I could say I've seen it in every case. I haven't. But I have had the joy of seeing it. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. Nothing in the world I know of, outside of being saved, is any sweeter than two sisters or two brothers being reconciled. Nothing in the world could be any sweeter. I've said this before. You remember now. The Bible said, ye which are spiritual. Probably the more spiritual one will have to make the first move. But I've seen this. I've seen it over and over in my ministry. I was wrong. The other person says, no, I was wrong. The first thing is, you know, they're arguing over which one of them was more wrong. It's sweet. It's sweet. And it can only happen as we yield our hearts to the Spirit of God. That's the only way we can do unto others. Let's go back and read it again. My assignment for Sunday is memorize this verse. Will you hold my feet to the fire? And as you would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. Read it with me, would you please? As you would that men should do to you. I said unto you, didn't I? I'm looking at it. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I'll work on it. Brother Junior, I used to memorize chapters. Now I have to work hard to get a verse. Amen. But I'll work on it. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. Amen.